This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
Stunners right now if the Tennessee Titans did anything other than take quarterback Cam Ward from Miami with the first overall pick in the draft. Certainly seems that that's the case. In fact, Warren Moon, who's number one, is retired by that franchise because he wore it for the Houston Oilers.
Right.
And now, of course, the Houston Oilers are the Tennessee Titans. Warren has said, you know, if Cam wants to wear number one, I might think about it.
I had a problem.
Nice of Warren.
I mean, did he ever really? Does it? To me, I see him in the Houston Oilers.
Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more, but it's still the franchise type of thing.
Yeah.
And then the Browns are sitting at number two, and we know what's going to happen. We're going out to Berea. And we will hear from Browns players as they speak here in the noon hour, second day of OTAs. And Kevin Stefanski will be speaking it as well this afternoon. We'll hear it right here on Baskin and Phelps, probably sometime here in the noon hour. Stick with us. He's going to be with us. Chris Rose, NFL Network, his draft coverage tomorrow. We're going to get a big lowdown on all that. And we're going to talk a little Cavs. Michael Lee from the Washington Post is going to join us at 1:20. And he's written a really in-depth piece about Darius Garland. So it'll be great to have Michael back with us. I'm Jeff Phelps. My partner right there is Andy Baskin.
Hey, you know, it's draft week, and the rumors are swirling and where the Browns will go in the draft. Obviously, we've been talking about that a little bit, too. Cavs run in the NBA playoffs. You know what's underway with Game 2 tonight against Miami. So don't miss a minute of the Fan with the latest breaking news during your workday or on the go. Stream us at 92.3thefan.com or on your phone with the free Odyssey app.
There's a lot that's happening here with the draft, just as far as scuttlebutt goes. No trades or anything yet. NFL.com has an interesting story out now, and you know we're all reading all this stuff, and we're all checking everything we can possibly check about everything and just trying to hear rumblings. NFL.com, bold predictions for round one. Browns shock at number two with a question mark. Eric Edholm, who's been with us and is going to be with us coming up later this week, I believe, he says he thinks it's possible that four quarterbacks are selected in round one.
Four.
Gentlemen, we now go live to Berea for Browns quarterback Joe Flacco. Press conferences on 92.3 The Fan are brought to you by Montrose Ford. Choose, click, cruise at MontroseFordAkron.com.
A lot of guys that we did some cool things with. It's always refreshing.
Joe, was that why it was attractive to come back this year, or were there other reasons that you decided to sign him?
I think obviously, like, you look at the past and there's something that makes you feel good about it, but it's mostly just comes down to the people, not necessarily like the results that.
Obviously, some audio issues there with Joe Flacco, so hopefully we get that corrected and get it corrected quickly. Oh, look what Andy's doing. He's being cute.
Yeah. Hi, Jeff.
Yeah, that was not good. So as soon as we get that corrected, we will hear it right here on The Fan. Edholm says on NFL.com he thinks it's possible four quarterbacks are selected in round one.
You buying that?
Well, yeah. You know why? Because every team that needs a quarterback might jump up and get one. And the other three, I would assume, would be Shedeur Sanders and Jackson Dart and Jalen Milroe. I think for four quarterbacks to be selected in round one, the Browns would have to move back up into round one to take one.
Well, why wouldn't they just take one at two?
Because that's not the value you're looking for. Chad Ryder.
You're the guy that always says, if you really want him that bad and you've got the number two pick, why wouldn't you just take him there?
Because you want Travis Hunter even more. That's why. Chad Ryder says Ashton Jeanty will be picked by before Raiders head coach Pete Carroll can make the call at number six. So he has Jeanty going off the board before the Raiders could get him at number six.
Again, these are just bold predictions.
Yep,
right?
These are just bold predictions. But here's another one. And this one to me is somewhat interesting. Mark Ross from NFL.com says, unanimously assumed during the pre-draft process that Cleveland will select either Abdul Carter or Travis Hunter.
Yeah.
However, early on Thursday night, the Browns provide a shocker when they take Shedeur Sanders in that spot.
Are we just throwing stuff against the wall? That's all.
I'm not, but maybe Mark Ross is.
Well, that's his the gig there, right? Like, you got to make a bold prediction.
That's a bold prediction piece, yeah. But I think the boldest prediction of all of those is actually that Shedeur Sanders would go at number two. I think it's actually possible that four quarterbacks go in the first round. I really do. And I think it's very possible that Ashton Jeanty goes before the Raiders have a chance to pick at six. But the thing that I'm a little intrigued by, Sanders going to number two, that just, and again, who knows what the Browns are thinking? Who knows what all of everything is there? But Sanders is clearly the wild card. If some team really wants him, Andy, I would think they trade up to the Browns to get him. And I say that because there is the possibility that the Giants take him at three. I don't think that's likely. But I think there is the possibility. I think they're in better shape at quarterback with Jameis and with Russell Wilson than the Browns are with Kenny Pickett and with Joe Flacco, whose audio is bad and we're not listening to him right now.
I don't know. I mean, wouldn't you say it's pretty close to a wash?
No. I think Russell Wilson is clearly better than either of our guys. And I think Jameis is comparable to Joe Flacco. And better right now than Kenny Pickett, because we don't know what we have in Pickett. And Pickett's going to have to go out and earn the job if it's going to be his, and then show that he's capable of continuing to hang on to that job.
So I bet you're saying, when you look at that situation, the median of that, is the median of the Browns better than the medians of that situation? With Jameis?
So I don't know
what
that means.
I'm saying, okay, so take all four, rank all four of those quarterbacks that you just talked about. Russell Wilson.
Number one.
Who's number two? Flacco?
I personally think Jameis.
Oh, you think Jameis is number two?
Yeah, I like Jameis more than I like Joe Flacco, despite what we saw last year.
I think Flacco and Jameis are a wash.
Flacco has had...
You're right, Russell Wilson's
Flacco
better.
Has had one, and I don't mean this to disparage Joe at all. I'm glad they signed him. I think he's a nice signing here. I think Flacco, since he's left Baltimore, has had one above-average stretch. One. And it came here. Now, can Kevin Stefanski get that out of him again? Can Joe do that here again without Amari Cooper, who was his favorite receiver when he was here? Can Joe do that again? Boy, I sure hope so. But Flacco's had one good stretch, and it lasted five games since he's been done in Baltimore. And so I don't mean to downplay him at all. I'm glad they signed him. But, man, I sure hope Pickett beats him out. And if not, I think the Browns have an issue, unless they have their quarterback in waiting, sitting there ready to go. And they might. But that guy might not be ready to go this year. So I would go Russell Wilson, Jameis Winston, Joe Flacco, then Kenny Pickett, based on what we've seen throughout their careers and everything else, with the hope that Kenny Pickett moves up right behind Russell Wilson. Make any sense?
Yeah, that all makes sense to me, too. I don't know. I'm listening to what you're saying. I just the best-case scenario is to realize that if you don't think you have a quarterback here, please don't reach. Just don't reach. That's what I'm asking for, too. Take the best player available. You got so many needs. I was looking at Twitter. There are just some of the dumbest people I've ever read on Twitter. Like, How many times have I said, Jeff, on the air that I kind of switched my opinion
from Abdul Carter to Travis Hunter?
And believe me, if they take Abdul Carter, I will be very excited and very happy. I've been talking about it, but up until about 10 days ago, that's all I talked about was Abdul Carter. And then I think you hit a reality when you say to yourself, we have a team that can't get more than 15 points per game. That's sad, and I think you have to outweigh that over the needs of maybe being able to bring in another guy on the other side to mirror or be the perfect complement to Myles Garrett. And so I'm reading like the, I'm going to block this one idiot because he just clearly – I mean, you got to listen. They should take Twitter away from people that don't listen because we're just sitting here, and I've said it 1,000 times. How can the Browns look themselves in the mirror – on Friday morning and not take somebody on offense when the offense was absolutely horrific last year, dead last in the NFL?
I can tell you why.
I can tell you that I love Abdul Carter and I wish they would take him, but if they take somebody that can help them out offensively and get into the end zone and get them up to at least 20 points per game, then they've made a good decision.
The question is Travis...
And 20 is not going to win for you, I'm sorry.
Is Travis Hunter going to be a big-time player? And can he be a factor in really improving your offense?
So what about Ashton Jeanty? I mean, look, I know that no one's going to sit on the stand on the table and say take a running back at two. But if all the projections are true about him, why wouldn't you?
Yeah,
your offense is abysmal.
I truly think position should not. If the Browns are thinking about Travis Hunter, and they should be certainly. Then I also think they should be thinking about Ashton Jeanty. And I know nobody takes a running back at two anymore, except for one thing. What do you want out of that pick? Do you want a wide receiver, or do you want the most impactful player you can get on offense? And now I don't know which guy will be the most impactful player, but if the Browns decide that they think Jeanty would be much more impactful than Travis Hunter, then they should take the running back. They should, shouldn't they?
Yeah, I Jenty's the other guy of this group that makes me go, why wouldn't you take him? Why wouldn't you take him? Why
if you think he's going to be...
Especially when you talk about the comparison.
Hugely impactful. And at this point, you don't even need to say, you know, well, is he going to have a 10-year career? Well, who says Travis Hunter is? If he's playing both ways, he could get beat up and be out of the league in 7 years. Could Jeanty play like many running backs are now into their early 30s?
Well, I also think Trayvon Henderson can catch the ball too. I've seen him as like third, fourth best in this class for whatever that's worth. But, I mean, Kansas City's talking to him, right?
Trayvon Henderson?
Yeah.
They had a call with him yesterday. Andy Reid was on the call. They have the 31st pick.
I don't think... Either one of the running backs from Ohio State is going to disappoint the NFL team they end up with.
Mike is buzzing around in his car. Hi, Mike.
Hey, Mike.
Hello.
Mike, you with us?
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. On the new Campus Files podcast, we uncover the scandals you won't hear on the campus tours. Find Campus Files on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, I'm here.
Hey, what do you
got?
Can
you hear me?
Yeah.
Hey, guys, how you doing?
Good.
Hey, Cleveland, the offensive problems are not going to get solved until they take quarterback. You can pick all these players you want that if you don't have a quarterback to get them the ball, it doesn't really matter. Okay?
Without question, except for one thing, Mike. You can't draft a guy just because of the position he plays. You have to think he's going to be good.
Jeff, it's called, it's teaching these guys. You got to have some patience with these guys. If they would have kept Baker Mayfield, who knows what our future would have been? The problem with the Browns is they haven't had any patience with these quarterbacks since they drafted them. All the 31 other teams, you say about 17 got the quarterback because they have patience. And they let these guys learn and sit a year and learn behind a veteran, correct?
Yeah, but the problem copycat problem, because people, now you look at Washington like, whoa, wait a minute, why can't we have this guy do this?
They don't all sit. You know, some rookies play. But I get your point, Mike, and you're right about it. Mike's gone. Okay. Marcus in Aurora. Hi, Marcus.
Hey, Marcus.
Hey, guys. Just remember, Mahomes sat a year. So,
yeah.
But they had Alex
Smith
behind him.
That's one. Jordan Love sat three. So did Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah. How about this now? I think if the team wants to trade up with the Browns, you got to figure it's got to be one of the five best teams in the league. So the pick would be late. You know, in other words, 28 to 32, whatever. You think there's any chance Philly wants Abdul Carter? You know, they sure lost their one edge rusher. And you think if the Browns could get, they'll get a one this year, and then they'll have two ones next year. You think Philly would do that? And if you're the Browns, how could you say no to that for the second pick?
You could easily say no to it because
you're looking at basically a second-round pick if they're as good as they were this year. I mean, it's not – what's the bar? You better throw in a lot more than
that.
Yeah,
but it's next year's draft, not this year's draft. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, but, so but what would you get out of this year's draft?
I mean, do you need that other
pick?
So the only reason I think you do that is if you want Arch Manning and you're saying – okay, we're going to trade our very high pick because we weren't very good because we walked away from a player who might be able to impact us this season. So now we're back up in the top five, top two again, and now we're going to blend that with a 26 or lower pick based on whatever the Eagles do this year. I don't know, would another team be interested in that? If you had to get back up. I mean, look, if you're sitting at two, you might be able to get Arch Manning, you know?
Oh, yeah, but how are you going to get it too? Only if you stink.
Yeah, well, if you're trading away the number two pick this year, you're asking to stink.
Marcus, I don't think there's any way they trade the number two pick for a pick down in the low 20s in this year's draft. I think the Browns have an opportunity to get somebody who they think will be an impactful player for this team, whether it be Carter, whether it be Hunter, whether it be Genty, whether it be Mason Graham, somebody who could be a really good football player for this team. So I don't see them trading that pick and moving down significantly.
A little bit of news, gentlemen.
Sure.
Pro Football Hall of Fame has announced that the Detroit Lions and the Los Angeles Chargers will be in the Hall of Fame game on Thursday, July 31st.
Okay. So, in other words, guys who won't make their team will be playing in Canton on July 31st. I like that.
Do you pre-soak the wet blanket before you throw it on things, or do you put the blanket on and then hose it off?
Hey, we'll have Dan Campbell. He can take his guys through the Hall of Fame. That'll be fun. And then Harbaugh can come through and say, no, that guy's not a Hall of Famer. That'll be great.
It's good for Stark County when you got Detroit coming over.
Absolutely.
Right? I mean, it's an easy ride. You got people coming up with less than probably 3 hours from
absolutely
coming on over. That's great for Canton.
We had some audio issues coming from Berea.
Antonio Gates, baby.
That's swell. Yeah. We have some audio issues coming from Berea. The Browns are working to clear that up. As soon as it's cleared up, we will be hearing from Browns players at some point, Kevin Stefanski as well, and don't forget Chris Rose coming up on the show, Michael Lee, Cavs getting ready for game two, all coming up right here on Baskin and Phelps. It's one day before the draft, Browns sitting right now on the clock at number two. I'm Jeff Phelps, my partner, Andy Baskin.
Don't miss a moment from earlier in our show or any of our local shows on 92.3 The Fan. Click the rewind function on the Odyssey app brought to you by Montrose Ford. Choose, click, cruise at montroseFordAkron.com to listen back to any of our segments from the past 72 hours. There you go. So easy, so simple. In fact, before you go to social media and say something that we didn't say or didn't listen, you can go back and you can hear exactly what we did did say, so you're not a jerk online.
Well, Dan, why does Andy, why does he torment himself?
There's only one thing that makes Jeff Phelps mad on this show, and you know exactly what it is.
Yeah.
What is the one thing that makes Jeff Phelps mad on the show?
People who tell me something I said and I didn't say it.
And try to say
free food.
Lack of free food. Ooh, I mean, that was supposed to be one of the perks of this gig. It has not really materialized.
I came downstairs because a lot of our great account executives are down here, and I was like, oh, it's Wednesday. Isn't it Wing Wednesday down here?
And what'd they say?
And they're like, well, yeah.
And they said, who are you?
No, they said, yeah, you get one wing, just one singular. That's it. And I was like, okay, cool. They're like, but we ran out, so you're done. Just Wing Wednesday. And, you know, they were talking about Taco Tuesday. They have a fiesta down here. It's awesome.
That's wonderful news. I wouldn't know. Never invited. Kevin Stefanski is going into, does this surprise you? You're number six as head coach of the Browns.
That's a
pretty good run.
How many years did we come on the air, Jeff, and just say, can we just get some stability? Can we quit going through coaches?
A little continuity.
So, yeah.
The question is he the right guy? And I still think that that's a question that needs an answer.
Is he like a current college football player that got a sixth or seventh year because of COVID? He's been able
no.
to extend his career out that way?
No. What I do wonder is this, and we again, hope to hear from Kevin coming up here during the show.
He does have two seasons of playoffs.
My question is this. I think this is absolutely a make-or-break season for Kevin. I wonder how successful the Browns have to be for him to return for a seventh season. And I think the key is this. In his first 4 years, the Browns won 11, then 8, then 7, then 11 games. And you thought, oh, yeah, we've got our guy. So much so that you gave him a contract extension. Because two of his 4 seasons, you made the playoffs and you won 11 games.
Right.
And you kind of thought you're on your way. And then last
year, you have an
year,
adult in the room running the show.
Yeah, and then last year you win 3 games. And I give the Haslams credit for not just flat out saying, oh, 3 games from 11, you're done. I give them credit for that. But now Kevin, I think, has to go out and win a certain number of games or show significant improvement, Andy.
Give me the number.
I can't put a number on significant improvement.
7 or 8 would be significant improvement. You double your win total from a year ago.
But is 7 or 8 enough to give the guy a seventh season? I personally think he's a good coach. And I know a lot of folks disagree with that. I think Kevin is a good coach. I don't know what happened last year. I can chalk it up to this. And I don't know if this is the answer, but I can chalk it up to this. Wow, we have Deshaun Watson. It hasn't worked out very well so far. We need to change things to cater to the quarterback. Van Pelt, you're out. Ken Dorsey, you're in. We're going to pass like crazy. Uh-oh, that's not working. And that's not working in a big, big way. And Kevin didn't take the hit for that. Ken Dorsey did. You could make the argument, well, Deshaun didn't take the hit for it. Deshaun got hurt.
I think Jimmy Haslam is taking the hit for Deshaun.
But as Mike Florio once wrote, how does an owner take a hit? Mike said, hold me accountable, or Jimmy Haslam said, hold me accountable. Mike Florio, who is with us at 11:20, and if you missed that, go back and listen to it on the Odyssey app, 92throughthefan.com. Mike didn't say this today, but Mike wrote a story. How does any owner get held accountable? What are you going to do, not go to the game? Not follow the team? Of course you're going to go to the game, and of course you're going to follow the team. So you really can't hold an owner accountable.
Sure, I think you can.
I don't think
you can. Well, how about having an owner that holds himself accountable? Because I think that
that's fine, because that might be the case.
I think
Stefanski and Barry are still here.
Twice, I think he's held himself accountable at the quarterback issue.
One on Johnny?
Yep, one on Johnny, and now one on Deshaun.
I think that might be true.
And with the Johnny thing, I think they finally said, we got to get through. You know, everyone talks about, what if Baker Mayfield? What if Brian Hoyer? And I know Hoyer ended up making the playoffs somewhere else, but didn't have a fantastic showing in the playoffs, but still made it, still took his team to a place. Like, we were going in the right direction, and all of a sudden becoming relevant and being able to sell jerseys and having somebody that was just this train wreck of a sideshow, of a circus. And, I mean, it put the Browns on the map. There was no question about that. They were relevant. The problem was they were relevant for all the wrong reasons. And You know, and if he walked into the room and said, yes, let's pull the trigger, why can't we come back up in the draft and get Johnny Manziel? This is going to be a great play. And then you heard Florio say he wasn't the only owner that was willing to do that at the time, and I'm sure he wasn't the only owner that was willing to go out on a limb for Deshaun Watson. I just – there is no way if you go back and relive the whole Deshaun Watson from beginning to where we are right now, there is no way – any owner would want to take on that responsibility ever again.
So,
and I think that if there's one thing that's happening here, they are learning patience in Berea, and it's something we didn't have before. Patience with the head coach, patience with ownership, knowing when it's the right time to stand out and say, we made a mistake, and you can hold me accountable for it. You may not like me for it, but I'm telling you, we made a mistake, and at the time, we thought it was right.
But how much patience are they going to show in year number...
Andrew Berry's back next year, don't you think? I think Berry's fine.
Oh, I don't think so.
He would have to whiff on every one of these picks, I think.
Which, Andy, he has shown he's capable of doing.
Look at the draft record.
He's not drafted well.
But I think they understand, and if the swing and a miss line is 100% correct, that Haslam is saying, look, let's reset. What's Paul DePodesta saying? What's going on in the background with him?
Let me go back to the original point.
Okay.
And the point is this. What does Stefanski have to do to see another season?
This
is going to be year number six.
It's easier to fire the coach than it is to fire the general manager, although...
I think it's easy to fire anybody in the NFL in this day and age.
It seems easier, though, to fire
a coach.
But if you were ever going to fire a coach, weren't you going to fire him after 3 wins last year?
Well, but that's the point, though. And you just said, if the Haslams are holding themselves accountable, that means Kevin gets another year, and he's getting it this year after 3 wins.
Is it this year or next? Because I don't know as well as I do.
No, but hang on. It's this. And then Andrew Berry gets another year, because if the Haslams are holding themselves accountable, they're taking the hit for Deshaun. Are they going to give these guys another year? And Jimmy Haslam said it, you know, we don't have to force-feed quarterback. Okay, does that immediately give these guys yet another year, or do they have to show improvement with some combination of Kenny Pickett, Joe Flacco, and young quarterback DeJour?
Yes.
I think they have to show improvement, and I also think Andrew Berry has to really get some guys in this draft. If he drafts a bunch of guys who don't perform as rookies, I think he's going to have a hard time being back.
If you go back and listen to what we've heard over the last couple weeks, again, I know it's NFL, not for long, and I could be wrong on this. He's a man that is talking with 24 months, not 12. He is definitely talking 24, not 12.
Well, that's before you play another season. After you play another season, you might not be thinking the same thing.
I think that he can have the confidence thinking he's – especially if, Jeff – they're not taking a quarterback this year because they like the quarterbacks in next year's draft.
But again,
you could be sitting here next year with Arch Manning on your team, and if things fall apart after that, then for sure.
But that doesn't mean you can whiff on 11 draft picks this year.
Yeah, I agree with you. If he whiffs on 11, he'll probably be done too.
If he whiffs on six, Jeff, he might be done.
If he whiffs on 11 and they have another 1-2-0 win season, now you have Arch Manning.
Yeah,
and there's no one to stop you from getting it.
Who says Arch Manning's going to be the next stud?
It's right. We say that of everybody.
Right.
We say that of everybody.
Right.
But if ownership has their heart set on that, and if we lose this year and they benefited for next year and find themselves in a better draft position, in a better year for quarterbacks, then maybe that's a win too.
That's fine.
We don't know what we're hearing behind the scenes.
Yeah, except for this. If this season goes to you-know-what in a handbasket and they end up getting in a position to draft Arch Manning, are you going to trust a guy who just whiffed on all kinds of draft choices to put talent around him?
If the orders right now were to we're worried about the quarterback next year, what's the difference on what happens
to the
general manager?
Because you're drafting wide receivers and running backs and linemen and defensive everything else. I think Andrew Berry has to have a good year. A good draft, or he's. I think if they both don't do good things, I don't think they're going to see a seventh season in Cleveland.
Here's what I think he has to do. Let's play it in the terms that we know. It's like a steak right now, okay? And all he needs to do is deliver the steak medium. medium, or better, depending on which way you like it. Me, personally, I would like medium plus, or maybe even medium.
Medium pus would be bad.
That would be
nasty. Don't want a pussy steak.
No, that would be bad, but we'd have the first pick in the draft if that was the case.
Dick is in Dayton. Hi, Dick.
Hey, Dick.
Hey, how are you guys doing?
We couldn't be finer.
About this Cavaliers, but I want to say something, Jeff, to you about the Guardians.
Hey, Dick, we're talking football here, buddy. Come on.
Okay, I'm sorry.
Dick, we love having you on the show. But
you got to stick with what we're talking about,
Dick. You got to be on board with what we're doing.
We love you. We love having you on. We love your enthusiasm.
Titus loves you. We all love you.
We're just kind of talking football here.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. About
that's
Browns,
okay. Oh, no,
okay?
Sorry, Dean.
We love you. We love you.
What do you think of Browns?
I do. I like it. I think, like I said, I'm going to change my mind and say Flacco is going to get us 11 victories. You heard it today.
God. Okay. Dick, I hope you're right.
Yeah, and I'm calling in this year, too.
All right. Well, good. We appreciate it when you do.
We'll tell Titus. He'll be all excited.
Okay. Thank you, guys.
All right, Dick. Ya. Take care, buddy. There's Dick and Dayton.
Titus. Doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter, does it?
No.
Chris Rose is going to be a very, very busy guy tomorrow. Works for the NFL Network, and he's doing the pregame, pre-draft extravaganza. He's coming up next right here on Baskin and Phelps, so get ready. It'll be Chris Rose joining us. Moment. Ladies and gentlemen, the fight song of your Miami Redhawks means that we bring in the gentleman who went to Miami and now works for the NFL Network, and he's going to be really busy tomorrow. He's on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. He's a friend of the show. He's a buddy of ours. He is Mr. Chris Rose. Hello, Chris. How you doing, bud?
Hello, gentlemen. How are you?
We are ready for the Browns to make a pick at 2. That's how we are. How about you?
Yeah, I think that should be fun. I think Thursday, Friday, Saturday are going to be a lot of fun for Cleveland fans. No question. Well, hopefully it starts this afternoon, with the Guardians, and then continues on tonight with the Cavs, and then continues tomorrow with the Browns. This could be a lot of fun.
We are having about – what's on your agenda for this thing? Because you are one busy man. Make sure everybody knows where we can catch you.
Yeah, so I'll be hosting the pre-draft show. So for 3 hours starting at 4 o'clock Cleveland time, we'll get you set for Rich and the gang. He'll be out there with Daniel Jeremiah, Charles Davis, and Joel Klatt, which is an awesome desk to have out there in Green Bay. But we're there to kind of get you ready. You'll get a chance to meet some of the prospects on the red carpet, including one who might be a Cleveland Brown in the near future, I'm guessing. Both Travis Hunter and Abdul Carter are expected to be on the red carpet. That'll be part of our pre-draft show. Plus, we are talking a lot of Browns. I've already been through the show several times because the Browns do kind of hold some important keys to this draft, starting obviously with number 2. But if they don't take a quarterback at 2, which we've discussed on this show, we don't think they're doing, do they jump back late into the first round? There's a lot of intrigue about how this is going to go, even for a quarterback draft class that is not held in very high regard.
Chris, if the best person for the Browns at 2 can't really be determined going in, and I say that because, could it be Abdul Carter? Travis Hunter certainly seems like the likely choice from all the scuttlebutt right now. Could it be Mason Graham? Sanders doesn't seem to be there. But if there are multiple choices and nobody would be upset with any of them, would the pick be more valuable if they could move it, not drop down too much, and still get one of those guys?
Yeah, but you're only answering half of the equation, and you're only looking at it from the Cleveland standpoint.
Somebody would have to want one of those guys to trade up to 2, and maybe beauty is in the eye of the beholder. Maybe somebody wants somebody. I don't know.
Yeah, and when you're moving up into the top 5, it doesn't always happen. But you're primarily moving up there for a quarterback. Sometimes it can be a pass rusher, right? We saw a few years ago, Houston traded up, I think, from 12 to 3 to go get Will Anderson out of Alabama. That sort of stuff does happen, but not a ton where it's for a non-quarterback, just because to move up that high can cost you quite a bit. And I know that Travis Hunter is a guy unlike we've seen before. And Abdul Carter, people think his qualities are off the charts good. So, sure, could somebody want one of those guys? It makes sense. It's possible. And with us, I don't know. I mean, when you start trading back too far, then you're looking at, like, the next group of guys, which is some offensive linemen, which I don't know if we, you know, do we have a need? Yes. Is it our highest need? God, I don't know if it's the top need of this team. So I think I would rather pick and play.
Especially, Chris, if you have a chance to take a guy like Hunter or Carter, who you think could end up having a great NFL career.
Yeah, we just haven't drafted enough difference makers when we've had the chance. In the last few years, we haven't had the chance because we haven't had a first-round pick, right? Our last first-round pick was Greg Newsom. That was pretty far down.
Let me ask you this, and the folks that you're sitting around talking about, where does trade play into all this for the Browns, especially with the rumors and the buzz over the last couple of days that they've been taking phone calls? But, Chris, you know as well as I do, if they're not taking phone calls, they're not doing their job.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think we just talked about the possibility up high. To me, the more interesting trade scenario for our team is at the back end of the first round. Right? Do we feel like there is a quarterback there that makes sense to get on a fifth-year option, to jump ahead of some quarterback-needy teams if they don't get a guy? Let's say that Shador falls past the Saints at 9. Well, presumably the next team that would need a quarterback that would have a chance at him without moving up are the Pittsburgh Steelers at 21. And if for some reason they don't do that, everybody feels like, wow, it'd be great to have Sean McVay get his hands on him at 26, which I could see the argument for because Matthew Stafford is approaching 40, and you need to have a plan in place. But at the same time, the Rams are a really good team, and maybe at 26 they get a piece that can be the difference, that can help them get past a team like Philadelphia in the divisional round, right? That's the thought process. So at that point, if you don't have to move up 15 spots, but if you only have to move up 5 or 6 to go get your quarterback, well, then does it make sense? Like that is the intrigue for several teams in this draft.
Chris Rose joining us, and you'll see Chris on the NFL Network tomorrow, pre-draft coverage, and then NFL Network covering the draft. And Chris, I personally watch you guys all the time for that stuff. It's phenomenal. I think the NFL Network does a great job. So I'm really looking forward to your coverage of that. As the Browns go into this thing tomorrow night, do you think they have one of the non-Cam Ward quarterbacks as the guy that they think would be their best guy? Or do you think it's a situation where we're not going to make a big move or whatever, and we'd be okay with whatever guy falls to us? And I'm thinking Jackson Dart or Tyler Shuck or Jalen Milroe in particular.
Well, I can't imagine that you have them all stacked the same way. I don't think that's reality when it comes to personnel evaluation. Everybody has a favorite. So, you know, now they've built this quarterback room with a guy who is still trying to make it his way, you know, as an NFLer in Kenny Pickett. As a guy who is still trying to hang on and rekindle some magic in Joe Flacco. And that's it. I mean, that's your quarterback room right now. So they have to draft a quarterback, in my opinion, in those top 4 picks that they've got. You know, they've got 4 of the top 93, I believe it is. And so they've got to, you know, is Tyler Shuck your guy at 33? That feels high for him, but some people are very high on him. Jalen Milroe, we know that he is an incredible runner of the football. He believes that he is faster than Lamar Jackson. There is a package you could put in place for him right away as an NFL player. There are like with Jalen Milroe, I think when you discuss it, would you be okay if he turned into Taysom Hill? If you drafted him at 33 and he turned out to be Taysom Hill?
I don't know that I would.
Okay. But, I mean, do you know how few franchise quarterbacks there are that get drafted after the first round?
Absolutely, yeah.
Right.
I mean, they would have to get lucky. They would have to get lucky.
That's the thing, is that at 33, if you're drafting a guy, even though it's only one pick away from a first rounder, you have to get lucky. Since 2016,
yeah.
So that's 9 years ago, we're talking about three guys that have made it when they weren't drafted in the first round. Dak, Jalen Hurts, Brock Purdy. That is it. That is the list since 2016.
Yeah.
And there have been, I believe, if my math is right, I want to say it's like 73 or 75 quarterbacks that have been taken after the first round since 2016. And three have made it.
And so many of those guys, Chris, are completely forgettable and not even in the league.
Yeah.
Chris, yep. Why? Oh, go ahead. Sorry.
No, nothing. I was just saying it's
yeah.
You know, the Browns are it's a tough situation because it doesn't mean that the quarterback class is crappy just because we're all saying it's crappy. It's just it's perceived as not good. We've had quarterback classes which were perceived as really good in 2021, and you got four of those five guys who are already on their third team before their rookie contract is even up, right? Trevor Lawrence is the only guy that stayed put. Everybody else has moved on to a third team by now. So you just don't never know.
All right, so here's my big question for you. Why will Andrew Berry be better this year than he has been in the past when it comes to making draft picks?
It's a great question. I mean, I can't give you a definitive answer because we haven't hit on enough guys. And you know, I think Andrew has done a better job of signing players than drafting players. And great. this is a huge opportunity for him to kind of change the narrative. You know, has he hit on a few players? He absolutely has, right? JOK, if he can come back from injury, has been nothing short of phenomenal. But there have been way too many misses. And the reason that teams are good in this league for a long time is they don't miss. They don't miss. I was going through and I looked at like the Ravens last four or five. I think I looked at their last 10 first round picks and I read them off to my son and I said, you tell me when you can say the word bust. And we had to go back to Hayden Hurst, who was actually the first of two first-round picks in 2018 because Lamar was their second first-round pick.
Yeah, the tight end.
Just to go not even to a guy who's a bust because he's still playing. He just has been okay. He's bounced around a lot. But everybody else, you look at him, you're like, God dang, they just don't miss first-round picks, let alone the middle rounds, which is where they really build their teams.
Chris Rose joining us. He'll be on the NFL Network tomorrow, pre-draft coverage. I think one thing through the offseason free agent moves, Chris, that gives us a great hint as to what the Browns are going to do with a couple of these picks. They really haven't added anybody at wide receiver. And
right.
They haven't added anybody at running back. So if they don't draft Travis Hunter, they have a huge hole. How soon do you think they would draft a running back?
Well, I think there's going to be really good ones at 33, really good ones, because I think that there's probably two that go in the first round, maybe a third, possibly, but I doubt it, because I think this draft is so deep that people are just going to say, well, it's like Uber, I'll catch the next one.
Genty, Hampton, and then somebody else, right?
I think Travion Henderson's got a real shot. I really do. I think he's being discussed in that area. Whether he goes or he doesn't, I think it's either end of the first or top of the second, depending on who really loves him. But so there's going to be temptation on Friday night to have that first name called to be a running back. But I think they save it to the top of the third round. I think this class is deep enough where you can get some guys that can be in the mix with Jerome Ford.
All right. What is going to make you say, yes, they made a great pick, or, oh, man, they're the smartest guy in the room again when we wake up tomorrow morning? Or, sorry, Friday morning.
Well, I would not expect us to pick a quarterback at
two.
If we do that, y'all are going to be in business for a long time. your content will be taken care of for quite a while. So I don't think that that's going to happen.
Darn it. Come on.
One of my brothers sent me a kind of a mock draft simulator where you do the picks for the first three rounds or whatever it was. Mm-hmm. And so I went Hunter, then I went Chuck for some reason. Then I drafted an offensive lineman at the top of the third round, and I drafted a running back with our second third round pick. And I looked at it, and I was like, huh, not that bad. I think I did okay. So I've got to do it again like 18 times today when I'm watching the Guardians game and as I'm prepping for the draft, which is really just me continuing to fill out my personalized Browns mock drafts like everybody else that's listening. Go find that. I might tweet that out for everybody just so you can have a fun little thing to do today. But let's just remember this. And I am as big a draft head as you will find. I love it. I love the draft. Don't read draft grades Saturday night. Do not read it. Don't say, oh, my God, NFL.com said we got an A, and ESPN.com said we got a B+. And it does not matter. Go back and look at the draft grades that they were handing out the night after the 2021 draft, because now you can grade that draft. Don't grade it night one. We're all going to read it. I'm going to read it too. Just don't marry it.
Chris Rose, NFL Network, again, what are you doing tomorrow night? When should we tune in?
Tune in at 4 o'clock Cleveland time. We'll be there for 3 hours of pregame, another hour to kick it out to Green Bay. We're going to have a lot of fun young players that will stroll through the red carpet. That's always fun. You have to remember, as exciting as it is for us, this is a life-changing moment for them, and I always love watching that and being around it, because it's fun to watch the families dress up and get to live out their dreams. It's a really, really cool thing, because we all know in a few months people are going to be saying much different things about them on social media, like, why can't you play football? So it'll be fun.
Looking forward to your coverage. Thanks, buddy.
Chris, we'll be watching.
Always appreciate the time, guys. Take care.